everybody today. Today is Tuesday, February 21st, 2017. The House Fisheries will come to order at 10:04 a.m. in room 120. Members present are Representative Eastman, Representative Tarr, Representative Fansler, Representative Chenault, Representative Christ Tompkins, and myself, Chair Stutes. We're also joined by Kelly Burnett from House Records and Kelsey Goodell from the LIO. And you will see my committee aide, Reed Harris, coming and going. Please note that at approximately 11 o'clock, we will be gaveling out to begin the Department of Fish and Game Finance Subcommittee. That committee will be chaired by Representative Ortiz. Today we have a presentation by the Alaska Resource Consortium about the Kodiak Seafood Marine Science Center. There's no public testimony today, and we have with us Jay Stinson with the Alaska Resource Consortium, Paula Kohlenberg from the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center, as well as Scott Smiley, Duncan Fields, and Pat Jacobson presenting. So if you would place yourself on the record and begin. Please do so.
For the record, my name is Jay Stinson, and I'm president of the Alaska Research Consortium. It's a 501c3 research and education research nonprofit organization. And thank you for the invitation and opportunity to speak to you regarding the University of Alaska Kodiak Seafood Marine Science Center and the critical need for applied research in fisheries and seafood. In 1981, the Alaska Legislature created the Fisheries Industrial Technology Center. It's now been renamed the Kodiak Seafood Marine Science Center. A little bit confusing, but it's in statute as Fisheries Industrial Technology Center, FITC. It was created under Title 16, Chapter 52 in 1981. It was given five mandates. Provide training opportunities for the citizens of the state on the most efficient and appropriate technologies for harvesting, processing, and conservation of Alaska's fisheries resources. It was to provide information and technical assistance on the adaptation of existing and new technologies. It was to provide research and development activities to adopt existing technologies to enhance economic viability of the industry, create two new technologies that will enhance the effectiveness of the fisheries and provide economic benefit to the citizens of the entire state.
Excuse me while I acknowledge Representative Newman, who's just joined us. Welcome, Representative Newman. Thank you.
And it was to encourage joint projects between industry and government that would enhance the productivities of the industry. We certainly try to work with all the associated industries, whether it be UFA, ADF&G, DEC. We've got letters of support from DEC talking about the critical nature of this. But anyway, due to the challenging economic times that we're in right now, we've been given notice by the university that they are considering shutting in the facility, closing the doors, and making other adjustments. But this is this group came together with the intent of trying to come to a solution, a unique solution that might alleviate that from happening. The fishing industry is the largest private sector employer in the state. First ex vessel value of close to $2 billion a year. I think it's 1.9. First point of wholesale is close to $4 billion. These are jobs and economic industry that needs the type of work that this facility was created to do and is still doing. We're very much involved with ongoing food security, HACCP training, workforce development issues. It's a just an important part of the industry. I don't know how many of you guys have bought new cars these days, but when you get into a vehicle these days, it's not like the old 69 Chevy. You've got computerized electronic. I open up the hood, I don't know what's going on. I have to go to a technician to work on that vehicle. The same applies to the seafood industry. These new plants, the new style generation of processing plant is computerized from start to finish. It has robotically controlled packaging, computer chip technology that tracks materials, product. It's not the processing facility that I grew up with. We need training to bring our process workers and the seafood people into the 21st century to maintain our position in a global seafood economy. We're going to have adaptations to allow us to compete in the global marketplace. And that was what Fish Tech was created to do, and the need is more critical now than pretty much ever before. Same thing on the harvesting side. It's not how many fish we catch. It's what fish we don't want to catch. We have to know fish behavior, gear design, energy efficiency on the boats. This type of engineering and technical work need, if we want to be a player in the global marketplace, we need to be current in technology so that we can compete with the Icelanders and the Norwegians and the Chinese fish farmers. It's just something that we can't allow to go by the wayside. Regulatory compliance, food safety is just, it's huge. These plants now have to comply with DEC, FDA certification. In addition, the new philosophy is to support retail process auditors, so these, such as the British Retail Consortium. So it's the privatization of these processing audits that these companies have to go through. So we need educated people that can train process workers to meet those demands. Alaska, or KMSC, is the only state-recognized process authority in the state. Somebody's got a question on how to make a better product or a new product, they have to go through them to receive training and certification on that. There's just a lot of things that go on similar to this. Harmful algal blooms, toxic plankton, and that impact on the coastal communities, it's huge. We work with that. We have the lab space, we have the technology, we have the people to do that. So these are all things that we can't let slip by the wayside. So with that, I think I'm just going to let some of the others speak to the issue, give them an opportunity to fill in the details that I missed. But this is an opportunity that we really can't let slide. So we'll have some requests that you'll see later on. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And I'll ask this committee if they have any questions to hold them until the presentation has been completed, please. Thank you. Please state your name.
My name is Scott Smiley. I'm a former director of FITC and a retired professor. I'm now with the
FITC, meaning?
Fish Tech Center, excuse me.
Thank you.
And with ARC as well. The fishery industry,
ARC meaning?
Alaska Research Consortium.
Thank you.
There's a lot of these acronyms. The Fishery Industrial Technology Center was the vision of a group of coastal Alaskan citizens in the 70s to ensure the long-term viability of commercial, sports, and subsistence fishing in their communities. They developed a plan and petitioned the Alaska legislature for assistance. In 1981, FITC was established with its missions and functions encoded in state statute. FITC was located in Kodiak because the fish landed there included 80% of the species harvested in the Gulf of Alaska eastern part and 80% of those caught in the Bering Sea. FITC and Sea Grant's Marine Advisory Program were lodged within the Community College Rural Education and Extension Division of the University of Alaska. Community colleges specialize in granting certificates and Associate of Arts or two-year degrees. In 1987, FITC and the Marine Advisory Program were moved to UAF's newly formed School of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences. That school primarily awards graduate degrees, precious few bachelor degrees, and no certificate or AA degrees at all. This is important because while the seafood industry in Alaska might staff their technical plant positions with employees having certificates or AAs or bachelor degrees, the need for employees with graduate degrees was vanishingly small. Cultural conflicts were present between the academic research focus of the SFOS faculty
and SFOS, please.
School of Fish and Ocean Sciences, pardon me.
Thank you.
Faculty and the applied industrial focus of the fish tech faculty. Such conflicts between applied and academic units are well known and underlined by the presence in many states of both an academic research university and a separate applied research university, such as in Colorado, with the academic research-oriented University of Colorado in Boulder and the applied science-oriented Colorado State University in Fort Collins. The cost to field two separate university systems speak to the degree of conflict between the cultures of academic and applied institutions. From 1981 until 1991, Fish Tech was located in rented office space in Kodiak and on Kodiak's Coast Guard base in shared laboratory space. In 1991, the Alfred Owen Building on Near Island in Kodiak was completed, including its 5,000 square foot pilot plant with funds drawn from the state. In aggregate, there have been a total of 13 FTE faculty, full-time equivalent faculty and staff positions at Fish Tech. Faculty numbers grew with the conversion of technical positions to faculty positions and the award of two university presidential appointments. However, commencing in about 2005 and continuing through the name change in 2011, the numbers have been reduced so that only a little less than 1.5 non-marine advisory program faculty and staff full-time equivalents remain. This amounts to a subtraction of more than 11.5 positions. Given this, it is unfair to condemn Fish Tech for a lack of productivity. Alaska's seafood industry is the largest employment in the sector in the state. Importantly, it includes many entry-level jobs where new workers can increase their earning power through education. For many, if not most, coastal Alaskan communities, the seafood industry is the only economic horse in town. The role of FITC, as originally configured, was to provide this employment sector with education, service, and research, helping it to face the new challenges of the future. That mission is why Fish Tech was originally placed within the College of Community College Rural Extension and Education Division. To allow it to return to its applied roots will benefit coastal Alaskan communities now and into the future. In this context, it's pertinent to remember that something above 80% of Alaska's population lives within 20 miles of the ocean. The Alaska State Legislature created the Fishery Industrial Technology Center and provided for its future. Since the university's reorganization in 1987, the Fish Tech Center has seriously atrophied. We now have an opportunity to change this. We believe that through public-private partnerships, we can fulfill the ongoing needs of coastal Alaska as encoded in the state statute. In addition, I want to talk briefly about research that's been done at Fish Tech over the past 20 years or so. I have a list that's available, I'll give it to Reed today, of about 200 research projects that we finished between 1986 and 2008. These projects were funded to a tune of about $25 million, mostly through two divisions of USDA, the Agricultural Research Service and the Cooperative State Research Education and Extension Service. And we owe a debt of gratitude to Mr. Willie Hensley, Mr. Carl Olds, Senator Stevens, and Representative Young for help in lining up the funding. The first part I want to talk about is CIREMI. We helped develop, along with National Marine Fisheries Service personnel, we helped develop the modern mechanical CIREMI process and had separate projects on a variety of different parts of that equation, including texture adjustment, how to control endogenous softening of the tissue, etc. I can speak to those if you have questions about them. In addition, we've spent an awful lot of time trying to develop value from the processing waste stream. If you harvest pollock, you're going to use about 20% of the body weight for food products. The remaining 80% or so is thrown away as waste. We have fractionated that waste stream to divide it into heads and frames and skins and viscera and tried to find value-added processes to handle all of that so that much of that is in the large commercial plants on the Bering Sea and in Kodiak. We have ways of handling the fish waste, and we're not dumping it in the ocean anymore. All of our projects are not directed to huge facilities like the Alaska Processing Waste Stream one. One that we did with a man named Scott Walter from Wasilla was to help him develop a product where he put a 4-ounce piece of sockeye salmon that he caught in Bristol Bay in a glass jar. He wanted an 8-sided glass jar, but we couldn't find one that was commercially available with 8 sides. We found one with 6 sides. It turns out that the rate of heat penetration through the corners of the glass jar is radically different than through the sides of the glass jar. So you end up with little temperature eddies in the fish. Now, when you're trying to preserve that fish, the fish as a total has to come to 269 degrees, and you hold it there for a period of time. In order to do that, we had to stud that salmon piece with 32 thermocouples and then do that a couple hundred times to try to find out how much time it took to get to that 269 degrees. That worked for Mr. Walther, and he then started packaging 2 of these jars in a wooden box and sold them for a number of years. We also have helped Al Bean, who has a company named Smoked Alaska. He's from Wasilla and Cordova. And acting through the Department of Environmental Conservation as process authority, we assisted him in developing his canned and smoked products. Given our expertise, our equipment, and the Alfred Owen facility, in addition to fish products, we have assisted with the Reindeer Project on Seward Peninsula, worked with producers of rhubarb juice, and helped folks make syrup from birch trees. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Thank you. I'd like to take this opportunity to recognize Representative Ortiz. Yes, we're going to hold our questions till the end of the presentation. That way we can ensure that the whole presentation is met. Thank you. Unless it's a point of clarification, Representative Newman.
No, I just had a question.
Okay. Thank you. Please state your name and your affiliation for the record. Yes.
I just wanted to, in our materials, are some of the comments in our materials the testimony of individuals? I was just trying to follow along, or are they, does anybody know?
Do we have our testimony? Did you hear the question? Raise your knees.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean.
Raise committees back on record. Please, go forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is Paula Cullenberg. I'm the director of the Alaska Sea Grant Program and also the co-director of the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center. And Alaska Sea Grant is a university-based program. We are a partnership between NOAA and the University of Alaska. There are 33 Sea Grant programs around the country, and we've been active in our state for about 45 years. We have a program that includes funding research. We do K-8, K-12 marine education around the state. And then we also support the Marine Advisory Program, which is our state's marine extension program. And Some of us have been in front of this committee before. We host the Alaska Young Fishermen Summit, among other things. So we're a statewide program. We have folks in 8 different coastal communities around the state. And the reason I am the director of the acting director of the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center is that 4 of the faculty that are in the building are Alaska Sea Grant Marine Advisory Agents and 2 staff members. And I think what you've heard from Mr. Stinson and Mr. Smiley is that there's probably room for more people in that building. There have been more people in the building, but there are 4 faculty members that work in the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center right now. One of them is a general coastal marine advisory agent, and she works on a lot of different issues for the region. She does marine safety training with commercial fishermen. She works in the school system in Kodiak. But she spends a lot of time working on paralytic shellfish poisoning and harmful algal blooms with subsistence users in the Kodiak region and statewide. PSP is a big issue in our state. We are probably one of the only states in the country that does not have any kind of a monitoring system for harmful algal blooms other than our commercial monitoring system that we have for commercial shellfish farmers. So Julie Matweo does quite a bit of work in that area. Quentin Fong is a seafood marketing specialist. Chris Sanito is a seafood technology specialist. Brian Himmelblum is also a seafood specialist working on microbiology, and those are the faculty in the building. There used to be closer to 10 or 11 faculty in the building, but those are the 4 that are there now. And even though there aren't a whole lot of people there, we have some staff and we have some graduate students, and I would reference in your packet this executive summary from the annual activities report to give you a sense of what goes on. There's a lot of activity in that building on a statewide basis right now. And we do a program of research, training, and technical assistance. And so just to give you some examples, we have a number of industry-funded research projects. The Pollock Conservation Cooperative Research Center, which I think is one of the largest industry donors to the university, has really been funding a number of different projects at KSMSC, including making pet treats from pollock skin, trying to figure out some new uses for pollock roe because that price is down so low. We also have a partnership with the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. They're funding a project right now looking at parasites in salmon and changes in standards given the interest in vacuum-packed fillets in our state. And then we have a strong relationship with DEC, and a good example of that is a project that a number of the folks in the building are working on with Manalik, which is the native nonprofit from Kotzebue. They would like to provide seal oil to their senior centers in that part of the state, and the Department of Environmental Conservation was concerned about food quality and safety. They reached out to the faculty at the Kodiak Seafood Marine Science Center, who are considered by DEC as a process authority given their expertise, and they are working with the seal hunters in the north and testing seal oil processes so that they can set up a standardized system that will allow some of the rural communities to serve seal oil in a public facility. We also do quite a bit of workforce training in that building. Last year we trained over 250 folks in a whole series of classes that range from required HACCP hazard analysis training. We did a roe processing school. We did a smoked seafood school. We do a seafood processing leadership institute. We have a seafood quality control managers program that we offer out of the building. And so we've had a very steady population of folks that have come from all over the state and actually sometimes out of the state to be trained at KSMSC in these classes. Last year it was over 250 people came to training, and we were able to generate about $75,000 in program income. So that's our program in the building, and so I really want to emphasize that there's a lot of activity going on. There's a lot of use of that building, even though we're kind of shy on people, and we could probably use more people and more faculty, and there's a lot of history behind that I'm not going to talk about right now. But I did want to say I just wanted to comment on what is unique about that center. First of all, as Mr. Smiley mentioned, it is the only seafood processing pilot plant in the state. So it's a wonderful large room that's filled with seafood processing equipment that's all perfectly functional, state-of-the-art. A lot of it has come through industry partnerships or federal grants over the years. The building also includes five labs, a classroom, an apartment, a series of apartments next door that are used for housing for students and instructors. And then it's also located on Near Island next to the NOAA lab and then next to the ADF&G building. So it's sort of a wonderful complement of federal, state, university. We have a lot of graduate students from ADF&G that come into the building. They're working at the ADF&G building and taking classes. There are two undergraduate classes that are taught statewide through the fisheries undergraduate program by faculty in Kodiak via video conference. So there's a lot of activity going on. And then finally, I just wanted to really mention our industry partnerships. As I mentioned, we've got a lot of connections with DEC, with the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, with the Paula Conservation Research Consortium, with we have Trident Seafood Plant Manager, who's been an advisor, Ocean Beauty, North Pacific. A lot of processors send folks to our classes. And then I just wanted to wrap up by saying that I think we've had a great partnership here. The university's interested in a public-private partnership to operate the building. This community group that you're hearing from has volunteered huge numbers of hours to put this together. They are all very, very well-regarded leaders in the Kodiak community. So I personally just want to thank them for their support and their interest and the time they've put in. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Kohlenberg. Please state your name and affiliation for the record. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just for clarification, I'm very interested in the conversation here, and the work that you do is good work. I'm interested, Madam Chair, where the funding is for this and how the funding mechanism works. Are we going to be getting to that?
We are going to be getting to that. Thank you, Representative Newman.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Pat Jacobson. I'm a nearly 47-year resident of Kodiak, retired teacher. I was on the school board and most recently was a member of the University of Alaska Board of Regents, having served as chair my last 3 years. I want to thank you very much for the invitation and opportunity for us to present today. ARC, the Alaska Research Consortium that we established, is really an illustrious group, and I wanted to flesh out just a little bit about the composition of that group. Jay Stinson is chair of the Kodiak Seafood Marine Science Center Policy Council and a longtime fisherman, and he's also the president of ARC. Alan Osterman is a former Alaska State House representative. Dr. Larry Ledoux is a former commissioner of education. Dr. Scott Smiley, former director of FishTech, Fisheries Industrial Technology Center. Duncan Fields, president of the school board currently in Kodiak, a lawyer, longtime fisherman, former ASME board member, former North Pacific Fisheries Management Council. Jeff Stephen, chair of the Alaska Sea Grant Advisory Committee, currently on the North Pacific Fisheries Advisory Panel and a former member of the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council. And then we have Matt Moore, manager of North Pacific Seafoods Kodiak plant, and Paul Lumsden, manager of the Trident Seafoods in Kodiak as well. All of us on this committee have very busy lives. Some of us are retired, but some also have jobs. It's not like we were looking for a new project or for something to do. Nonetheless, when we heard the intent was to close the facility, we were shocked, quite frankly, since it is in Alaska statute and has done some really great work. But at the same time, we understood that the university has had significant budget cuts. So we kicked into gear to try to help the facility survive. We're dedicated and we've contributed a great deal of time and, as in the case of this trip down here, on our own dime, in this effort. And we've worked hard for over a year now because we know how important it has been, is now, and will be in the future. not just for Kodiak, I emphasize, but statewide. So thank you very much. Very much appreciated on the testimony, being able to testify today. And at this point, the plan was, and hopefully they're online, both Paul Lumsden and Matt Moore, the plant managers of the seafood plants in Kodiak, are online.
They are online, and they are invited testimony, and so we will go to them. Mr. Fields, would you like to present your testimony prior to the online? Okay. We will go to Matt Moyer. Mr. Moyer, are you available?
Yeah, good morning, Representative Stutz. Yes, I am.
Thank you. Please state your name and affiliation for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning. My name is Matthew Moyer. I am the manager of North Pacific Seafoods in Kodiak. I've lived in Kodiak and worked for North Pacific Seafoods for over 30 years, and I appreciate this opportunity this morning to comment. You know, clearly, you know, we all are quite aware of, you know, the financial situation, the economics within our state, the challenges to the university, the challenges that the industry has. And I think as Pat Jacobson has alluded to, you know, we're aware of these challenges, and that's why we've been formed, and we really want to take them head on. We believe as the seafood industry is the largest private sector employer in the state, that it's critically important to our coastal communities and the villages and the towns and the communities that that sit on our coastline. We're intricately dependent upon one of the finest renewable resources in the world, and it's highly important that as our industry evolves and continues to develop, we hope it's part of the economic answer to our state needs. The needs and the demands that the industry had 20 or 30 years ago have changed significantly, and you know, part of the answer that we believe for workforce development for both our harvesting sector, our seafood processing workers, hinges upon the facility, and as it evolves, hopefully, we're very hopeful that it does not get closed. We believe that there's a tremendous amount of potential within the facility, and that I think the part of the answer to our economic challenges statewide is making sure that our coastal communities are vibrant and healthy. And to do that, we need a good, strong workforce. And so we believe that workforce development is critical to our future, and we're hoping that we can find a way to keep the doors open, make it a more productive and efficient facility for training not only new harvesters for the future, but also processing workers that face some of the new challenges with our evolving technology. So I want to thank you for listening to our testimony this morning and the opportunity to comment. So thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Mr. Paul Lumsden, are you available?
I am.
Please state your name and affiliation for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mrs. Stutz. My name is Paul Lumsden. I'm the plant manager with Trident Seafoods in Kodiak, as well as a member of the aforementioned ARC. I'm basically going to follow up on what Matt and Jay started off speaking about, but for those of you that are present that don't know, we have, as a company, Trident Seafoods has invested very heavily into Kodiak and built a brand new state-of-the-art facility. And one of the real challenges that we've had is finding qualified individuals to help run this plant. There's a lot of automation, there's a lot of technology, there's a lot of programming, and there are actually a lot of people in Kodiak and in Alaska that have potential to work in these locations, but lots of the training is not available. We're having to outsource and fly people in from all around the world, where I believe that we could foster people here in Alaska to have better high-paying jobs locally. It would be better for our state economy, be better for the industry, be better all the way around, where this facility in the past has been an agent fostering that type of growth in Alaska. And, you know, in listening to Scott Smiley's testimony, and what this facility has done in the past. I've been involved in, with a very short time, the last 3 or 4 years, and knowing what it's done in the past and seeing what it can do in the future is very important to me and to our industry. And I support it and have been with Pat and with everyone else in that room trying to voice our opinions and keep it going. And we just appreciate your time and the sense of urgency that this is to our community and all of Alaska. It's not just a Kodiak related thing. It's what's good for Kodiak is good for everyone.
Thank you, Mr. Lumsden. Well, we now have Mr. Fields as the final testifier.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Duncan Fields, and I'm also a member of the Alaska Research Consortium, which is just a group of citizens from Kodiak concerned about this facility. Our family was 25 years in the seafood processing business, canning salmon. Years ago, we had a problem with little crystals that formed randomly in canned salmon called struvite. Where do you go when you have a problem like that? Well, we went to the Fish Tech Center, found out that a little bit of citric acid takes care of that problem. If we lose this facility in Alaska, people in the industry have no place to go. That's why we're here today to talk to you about preserving the Fish Tech Center in Kodiak. And we've heard about the history. We've heard about the legislative engagement to get this going. We've heard about the mission of the facility, research, technology development, industry engagement, partnerships. We've heard about ongoing research, tremendous amount of concern about poisoning in clams and other seafoods, algae blooms, sea oil. So this is a facility that has a direct relationship to the way Alaskans live. This is applied science, and that's why this facility is important. I appreciated Representative Newman's question on money and budget, but our request for you here today for this committee is that as you look in your packet, there's a resolution in support of this facility. We're requesting that you as a committee pass that resolution recommending to the legislature that you prioritize or that you state the continued value of the facility in Kodiak. That resolution is based on the original legislative intent going back to 1981. It's based on several subsequent legislative appropriations from this body. And it's based on the importance of the ongoing mission of the facility, the mission to provide training, the mission to provide technical assistance, the mission to provide research and development, the mission to create new technologies for food processing and food development, and then the mission to encourage joint projects and joint research, both between the academic community and the industry relative to seafood. So, Madam Chair and members of the committee, that concludes our presentation today with a simple ask that this committee pass or recommend a resolution for consideration by the larger body. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Fields. We certainly appreciate this presentation, and the motivation was in having this presentation that I do not believe that there is a community in the state of Alaska that is not touched in some capacity by the seafood industry and what an important industry it is to this state, particularly in light of the declining oil revenues. Our fisheries, you've heard it testified to today several times that it is the number one private employer in the state of Alaska. So maybe we could ask Ms. Kohlenberg if she is the right individual to come back and tell us just a little bit on how this facility is funded currently.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Do we have anything in writing on this? That's something we can follow through in print?
In so far as the funding is concerned?
Right.
I do not believe so. Not in so far as the funding. You do have a copy of a potential resolution.
Through the Chair, Representative Newman, there is an annual report that I can make available to you for FY16 that has some funding outlined that could give you the background. But basically, this is a university-owned facility. It is there's no debt service on the building. It was built with Exxon Valdez settlement money in 91. I'm not an expert on this, but I'm familiar with the numbers. The operation cost and facilities maintenance last year for the building was about $299,000. The other costs to the university are faculty and staff salaries. And then beyond that, the way the university works is that faculty reach out to other funders. All of our university faculty, if they are permanent faculty in the university, have 9 months of salary provided by the university. If they want to work more than that or they want to fill out their program, they write grant proposals. And so we have three permanent faculty in the building that are funded by the university at 9 months. We have a seafood technology specialist that I mentioned who is 100% soft funded, which means he has to cover his salary completely with program income or grants. And I did, in your packet, there is an executive summary from the annual report, and it references the types of funders that are available for project funds, USDA, Alaska Sea Grant, NOAA, the Pollock Conservation Cooperative, some of the technical vocational funds that the university gets, the North Pacific Research Board, the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, and the Southwest Alaska Municipal Conference have all been funding partners in the last year for the four faculty that are in the building.
Thank you. Have you had any dialogue whatsoever with any of the Native tribes?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think within the Kodiak community, you know, you have both your ANCSA corporations and then your tribal entities. One of the tribal entities in Kodiak, the Shunack tribe, also has an interest in a small processing facility, and they've had a lot of carryover or cross-pollination between the center, the research center, and their processing. We also have had dialogue with a number of the other members of the Native community regarding both the importance of the facility and the application of the facility for things of interest. And this is particularly true with regard to the PSP or the problem we have on Kodiak Island with the clams. That impacts all of the rural Native communities, and that's of great interest for that community, Madam Chair. So without a specific agreement or a specific funding plan from that community, we certainly have been in dialogue with them relative to the importance in the use of this facility.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was wondering, we had questions here. How much effort has been put forward, and I like these programs at the center and what they're doing, but we need to make sure we have the right funding sources and funding for these programs. So the education credits that are available for training, how much effort is put towards those to go out and reach out to industry to have them invest so they can get the educational credits?
Yeah, through the chair, Representative Newman, all of the training classes that we offer, we charge funds for. So we, for example, we do an 80-hour Alaska Seafood Processing Leadership Institute. We charge $2,500 for that class. We supplement it a little bit with some federal Sea Grant funds, and we supplement it with UA technical vocational education funds, which come from unemployment, comes through the legislature and goes to training institutions. So we've had zero pushback from industry on charging for classes. We do a smoked seafood school. It's pretty unique in the country, and we charge about $300 for that. And we've had people from Whole Foods, from the East Coast, and all over the place come. So we try and recoup as much that we can through that method.
Madam Chair,
follow up.
If I maybe I could work with you and your staff. Years back, and I worked on the educational credits fund. It allows for industry to invest, and they get credits, corporate credits back from the state on investments there. And so that's the question, is how much investment you put in towards that, and if not, maybe we could start driving that boat a little bit further.
Through the chair, Representative Newman, the funds for research on the Pollock skin pet treats, for example, that comes through the PCCRC, the Pollock Consortium, They run those funds through the university and get the educational tax credit. I know that Icicle Seafoods has invested in some of our training programs, Alaska Leader, another group. So I think the industry is aware of that and has used it to some extent on different projects that they worked with us on.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I could, I'll work with Reed. Maybe we can work on some of that. And one other question.
Okay. Certainly. Follow up, Representative Newman.
Just trying to, again, help the industry here, and maybe Mr. Fields can help, and this is an active fisherman, too. Regulations and regulation reform. And I know that this has caused a tremendous amount of increase in what it costs for industry and businesses to work within the state of Alaska. Have you seen changes in the regulatory schemes or regulations that propagate increases in your costs recently, and have they been significant?
I have to smile, Representative Norman. We're a little bit outside, perhaps, of the specific direction of the
But it
still increases our costs, that bottom line. I think perhaps the sphere of the greatest regulatory change to increase costs is your third-party monitoring or reviewing of all the fisheries in Alaska. The Marine Stewardship Council or the AASME's, I can't think of the acronym, program to review and view fisheries. That is a cost on the industry. The more specific regulatory cost is those costs which this committee has been aware of in terms of budget cuts within fish and game that have eliminated weirs and stream surveys that reduce our fishing. So those are two immediate regulatory costs that come to mind. I'm not sure that I can track specific regulatory costs to the mission of the research center here in Kodiak, but certainly when we look at food safety and we look at means of getting value from the carcasses and the other byproducts of seafood, anytime research can provide economic value there, then we're reducing costs. So that's how I would tie the research facility back to the cost of the industry, is the facility has both provided technology relative to fish waste, and it's also provided research relative to food safety and new requirements in terms of chain of custody and the other kinds of things that third parties are now imposing on the industry relative to staying in business. Thank you, Representative Newman.
Madam Chair, my concern on that was that the costs that are engaged by the industries like this is because of changes in regulations. I'm finding that it's almost 100% of what they make is what it costs them to actually get through the regulation to run government, and then the half of it to run the business. And so that's the part that I was getting at. Instead of increases there, maybe we can do changes in the regulatory scheme and cut your costs that way.
Thank you, Representative Newman. I have one question, and I heard earlier, Ms. Cullenberg, I'm not sure if you would be the right individual to address this, a mention in relation to the statute and the funding that at one point was required through the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Can you expound on that a little bit?
Madam Chair, I'm not sure that I have much expertise on that. The building was, my recollection of the history is that there was really one authorizing allocation from the legislature, and then for quite a few years at FITC, before it was renamed, there was some dedicated research funding that came through the federal government, through the Agricultural Research Service, and through the USDA Cooperative Extension Service, and that ended about 5 or 6 years ago. So I don't know if you have any more.
Representative Seuss, I believe in your packet you have the Legislative Research Service's response to a number of questions from Senator Gary Stevens. And I think in the responses to that, it outlines the legislative intent and purpose in creating the facility. And it further indicates that although the university owns the building and could, as they've indicated, they may shut the facility, the legislative intent for the facility or the legislative mandate continues. And that was a mandate for training, a mandate for technical assistance, and I reviewed in my testimony mandate for research, new technologies, and joint cooperative agreement. So I think if that answers your question, Madam Chair, the facility may come and go, but the legislative imperative relative to its function remains the same.
Thank you. Are there any further questions? Representative Christ-Tompkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess this is a question for Ms. Kohlenberg and just a little bit of field, but I was greatly intrigued by this mention, but first say that I'm, you know, impressed with what was described today, and I think Ms. Jacobson's roster of those involved in the ARC, I think I know almost every single one of the names mentioned, and they're all pretty illustrious Alaskans in my name, and I think it might have been omitted, but Ms. Jacobson also has served as the state of Alaska as a regent, which may or may not have gotten included in that, so I wanted to mention that. But my curiosity was piqued, Ms. Kohlenberg, when you mentioned that the Fish Tech Center is working with DEC and Manilok in analyzing, I guess, means to process seal oil. And maybe this is a little bit related to where Representative Newman was going, but I guess I wanted to know what DEC was doing in terms of regulating how people are consuming seal oil. I'm surprised to hear that DEC is involving itself in that way, and maybe you could speak a little bit more to that.
Sure. To the Chair, Representative Christ-Tompkins, I think the question came up when Manilok had a relationship with a senior center in Kotzebue and wanted to serve seal oil to the elders. The elders wanted access to seal oil. And I'm sure there's probably some kind of, maybe there's some federal funds that are in part of that system, the senior center. So in our state and the nation, seafood is regulated by something called HACCP, Hazard Analysis Critical Control Points. Every single seafood processor in the country is responsible for having a HACCP plan. So seal oil, as you can imagine, was sort of an unusual form of seafood. It didn't have a HACCP plan. And that's the reason that DEC reached out to the folks at the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center. And one of the nice arrangements that we have between the Marine Advisory, Sea Grant Marine Advisory folks there and DEC is their DEC considers them a process authority. So they have the expertise and the background to work with food processors. And there are a lot of people in our state that are trying to process food in different ways and do cottage industries. I know that Chris was dealing with someone who was trying to process quail eggs the other day. I mean, we've done rhubarb juice. We've done all kinds of creative things that people in Alaska are trying to do to figure out economic diversification and you know, make some funds. And so I think this ability for DEC to reach out to the university and to these folks and say, can you help us develop a process that we are willing to accept as safe is what ultimately was going on with the seal oil. So
thank you.
No,
briefly, we're short on time, so briefly.
Noted on the time. Let's see, I think today's Tuesday. On Sunday afternoon, I was going on a run up in the mountains with a good friend who's an entrepreneur here in Southeast who just won the Path to Prosperity competition for creating a line of kelp salsas and relishes. And incidentally, in that conversation, he mentioned that he was partnering with a Kodiak seaweed and kelp entrepreneur to perhaps get the source product so he can in turn create this line of products that they can export outside Alaska, and mentioned that your center was going to be integral to analyzing which species would be ideal for that product. So I'm getting a lot of different data points here, and they're all positive. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions from this committee, during this presentation, our presenters proposed that this committee sponsor a resolution in support of this ARC, and I would entertain a motion to that effect from this committee. Representative Fansler.
Madam Chair, I move that we accept the draft resolution titled Draft Resolution Proposed by the Alaska Resource Consortium and introduce similar legislation on behalf of the House Fisheries Committee.
I will object for purposes of discussion. Is there any discussion? Yes, Representative Newman.
I thought I heard Representative Fensler say it, and this resolution calls for support of future bill to be a House fisheries bill. Support of that. Is that what I just heard?
Would you like to restate the motion, Representative Fensler?
Sure. Do you want the whole thing restated, or would you like me to speak?
Please, Madam Chair.
Okay. So my motion was that I move we accept the draft resolution titled Draft Resolution Proposed by the Alaska Resource Consortium, which you should have a copy of, and introduce similar legislation on behalf of the House Fisheries Committee.
Draft a resolution and introduce it as legislation, the resolution.
I'm just trying to figure out the process, Madam Chair. But I don't think I've ever heard of a resolution that a committee has passed to support future
legislation. This is a request to draft a resolution and having the House Fisheries Committee as the sponsor of the resolution.
I understand, Madam Chair. Do we have a copy of the legislation?
You have a copy of a draft resolution in your packet, and it would be very similar. I will remove my objection if there's no further discussion. Do I hear any other objections? Seeing none, we will draft a resolution sponsored by the House Fisheries Committee and move it forward. Thank you. Thank you for taking your time to come and testify. And seeing no further business to come before this committee, we will adjourn at 11 o'clock.